Okay, dear venerable brother, Dharma friends, we are going to start the Sutta teaching session. We'll start by paying respect to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. So, as the topic of this series today, actually we were taking Sammaditti Sutta, which is the 9th Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya. So in this Sammaditti Sutta, basically Venerable Sariputta is explaining various ways how one can arrive Sammaditti, how one can have Sammaditti, and he starts it with the wholesome and unwholesome. We are actually, in a way, we can say it's a karma based explanation. What are the wholesome activities, what are the unwholesome activities, what are the roots for wholesome activities, and what are the roots for unwholesome activities. So that is kind of a foundation we all can understand, and it is not limited to that. It may be growing further and further. So he mentioned, therefore, one can become a sotapanna, in a way, can arrive the dhamma, establish oneself in the dhamma, and then even get into the other states like non-returner, arahant level also, it is mentioned. And then so after that is being mentioned, then the other monks are asking whether is there any other way of developing Sammaditti, having Sammaditti. And Venerable Sariputta admits it, saying it is possible. And that is about the nutriments. There are four nutriments, and if one has thorough understanding about the nutriments, particularly what they are, how they are operating, and what is their cause, and what is their cessation, and what is the path leading to the cessation. So every time this model is there, in all these 16 factors, 16 explanations given in the Sammaditti Sutta, so kind of a theoretical explanation about the fact, and then the cause of it, and then the cessation of it, and the path leading to the cessation of it. So this is a kind of a model throughout the Sammaditti Sutta, how it is being explained. And then actually we come across another explanation after explaining nutriments. The Sangha asks whether there is another way of explaining Sammaditti, establishing Sammaditti. And there, Venerable Sariputta says yes, and then he is explaining about the Four Noble Truths. So we can discuss this today. So the Four Noble Truths is very well known and widely discussed, and something that we need to practically understand. So most of us know that is the Dukkha, Dukkha Samudaya, Dukkha Nirodha, Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada. That's the noble truth of suffering, the noble truth of cause of suffering, noble truth of cessation of suffering, and the noble truth of path leading to the cessation of suffering. Now, and basically this is the kind of a model, as I explained, applied to each and every cause explained in the Sammaditti Sutta. So there is a fact, and then the cause of that fact, cessation of that, and the path leading to the cessation of that. Now, when this explanation is given, basically, dukkhaṃ ariya sacchaṃ. So basically, kataṃ avaso dukkhaṃ. So there are jātipi dukkha, jarāpi dukkha, maranampi dukkha, soka parideva dukkha domana supāyāsāpi dukkha, apiyehi sampayogo pi dukkho, piyehi vipayogo pi dukkho, yampicchanna labati tampi dukkha, sankittena panchupādāna khandā dukkha. Now this is again a fairly known fact. So what is suffering? So the typical mundane way of explanation is that birth is suffering, aging is suffering, death is suffering, and going through some sorrows, lamentations, any kind of mental despair, any agitation, any bodily suffering, bodily pain, those are all suffering. And then if we have to associate someone that we don't like, that also produce some suffering. And if we have to sort of rid of our loved ones whom that we are attached with, that is also produce suffering. And if we are unable to have what we want, that is also suffering. And then in brief, ultimately this mentioned panchupadana kanda dukkha. So the clinging aggregates cause suffering. So basically at other occasions Buddha mentioned, so the truth of suffering is nothing but the clinging, five clinging aggregates. So knowing five clinging aggregates by mere words or kind of theory is not the point. Actually, we need to explore what is five clinging aggregates. So there are five clinging aggregates, starting with the form clinging aggregate, then feelings clinging aggregate, perceptions clinging aggregate, formations clinging aggregate, and then the consciousness clinging aggregate. Now, when we consider the form clinging aggregate, so we need to know what it is. And basically Buddha explained it in theoretically, they are the four great elements and they are different manifestations. So the four great elements we have to know, we have to exactly experience, we have to know their presence through our direct experience. Then we can say, okay, to some extent we have recognized the four great elements, so the form aggregate. So that is where we conduct the Dhatu Manasikara meditation, the elements meditation, to understand these great elements. And then one has to develop a fair amount of mindfulness, concentration, balancing of effort, and one can apply one's focused attention to the body, and then it is possible to recognize the manifestations of these different elements. So for example, the earth element may manifest as hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, heaviness, lightness. Water element may manifest as fluidity, cohesion. Air element like movements, vibrations. Then the heat element has kind of a temperature, basically hot or cold. So this is how the very primary way of explaining the elements or their characteristics. And we need to recognize their manifestation like that. Then we can have some direct experience about the form aggregate. And there may be an attachment to that. So that is where we have to recognize if in case there are any attachment, any recognition, any desire to the form element, form aggregate. So the form aggregate, even though I just explained with respect to the internal body, it is not limited to that. So in certain suttas, Buddha explained that it is very vast. Atita anagata pachuppanna ajjata bahidda olarika sukuma heena panita dura santika. Likewise, there are 11 different dimensions that Buddha explains the form aggregate. That means whatever form aggregate which was in the past, that is also comes under that. Whatever forms going to appear in the future, that also comes under this. And what is present right now, any sort of physical matter, that also comes under the form aggregate. And what we consider as internal form, that also comes here. What we consider as external form, that also comes under the form aggregate. And if something we consider as quite inferior or superior, both categories are comes under this. And if we say some gross matter, that also comes under the form aggregate. If we say something very refined matter, that's also come under the form aggregate. And if something materiality closer to us, that's also included. What is materiality completely far away, that is also included. So it is not a little limited kind of form aggregate, rather it's a very vast kind of form aggregate. The point is we have no boundary when we are attaching to any of these. So we can attach to something very close, something internal, something very refined, something very gross, something very far, something has happened in the past or future, going to happen in the future. So likewise, our attachments are fairly diversified. So therefore, the form aggregate also defined in many different ways. So that is quite included. Everything is, whatever the physicality, everything is included in this form aggregate. Everything is subject to clinging. So we can, our mind can subject, mind can cling to any of these. So therefore, this form aggregate becomes subject to clinging, subject to grasping. And similarly, the feeling aggregate. So different feelings are there: pleasurable feelings, painful feelings, equanimous feelings, and that we need to directly know. So knowing all this is in a way an investigation of the first noble truth, the suffering. So panchupadana kanda, so the form aggregate, if we are able to recognize their presence, then in a way we are investigating the dukkha satya. If we are investigating the feeling different, either physical or mental, so then also we are investigating the first noble truth. Then there are various perceptions time to time arise, and again when we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, think, so there are different corresponding perceptions, like perceptions relevant to the forms, perceptions relevant to the sights, the sounds, smells, tastes, etc. So all that comes under the perceptions aggregate. There are also that previous 11 dimensions can be applied. So whatever the perceptions in the past, whatever perceptions going to happen in the future, the current perceptions, internal perceptions, external perceptions, the perceptions near to us, perceptions far away, all that are included. So very, very vast area in that sense. And similarly, the formations. So we go through various mental formations, various volitions, bodily activities, verbal activities, mental activities, and which cause these mental volitions. So all the mental volitions, mental formations are coming under the formations aggregate. That is also included in the past, future, all that. So you can understand how it becomes more wider, more broader. And then the consciousness aggregate, we know that the through eyes we can see, through the ears we can hear, through the nose we can smell, through the tongue we can taste, through the body we can say recognize or sense certain stimuli, and through the mind we can cognize. So all these senses have that ability to cognize. So this corresponds to the consciousness, the eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, mind consciousness. Now all these different consciousness, so that also we, when someone is recognizing, understanding, so that is also in a way comes under the noble truth of suffering. So we are investigating these five aggregates. So basically, with respect to these five aggregates, so Buddha explains in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, idang dukkhang ariya satchang. So basically, another very important point is that when we are knowing all this, it is not my form, it is not my feelings, it is not my perception, it is not my formation, so my consciousness, rather there is a form, there is perceptions, there are feelings, there are, say, mental formations, there are, say, consciousness. So likewise, we have to look at them properly, look at them objectively. So that is very, very important. Otherwise, we start identifying with them, having some sort of a relationship to them, thinking they belong to us, or we adhere to them, we attach to them. So rather than doing that, so the important thing is have a little distance and then look at them objectively. There is form aggregate, there is feelings, there are perceptions, there are mental formations, there are consciousness. So idang dukkhang ariya satcha. So this is the noble truth of suffering. And then the other thing is that with respect to Noble Truth of Suffering, the important activity, the practice that we need to know, do is the parinyaya. We should understand it, fully understand it. So how we are going to understand? First, maybe through the book, it's theoretical understanding, but later, as I explained, using our mindfulness, concentration, wisdom, we need to understand their presence, their sort of behavior, so that whole their true nature we need to understand. It doesn't mean that we have to go through a extremely comprehensive 11 dimensions analysis of all these five aggregates. Rather, what we can experience right now, we can understand. So therefore, if we are attached to something past, that also we can understand. Currently, we have attached. If we are going to think about something happen in the future, that also we can understand because it is also present in the mind. And currently, what I am experiencing, also we can understand. So likewise, so through our direct experience, we are trying to understand. But later, probably through inferential knowledge, we can understand their sort of appearance or their presence, their behavior, the other aspect as well. But important thing is through vipassana, we are trying to understand their presence, their behavior in the current moment, in the right moment, in the present. So parinyaya, so it has to be fully understood. And when someone has done that properly, then we can say, okay, I understood that. I have thoroughly understood its presence. I thoroughly understood their nature. So on the other hand, here we are explaining the understanding is based on that how they behave, how they are impermanent, how they are unsatisfactory, how they are non-self. So all their true nature we are trying to understand. And then the second noble truth is related to the cause of suffering. The cause of suffering is explained as the tanha. So, yayang tanha puno bhavika nandiraga sahagata tatra tatra abhinandini seyyati dang kama tanha bhava tanha vibhava tanha ayang ucchatavaso dukkha samudayo. So the cause of suffering is explained as the craving, and that is also threefold: the craving for sensual pleasures, craving for being, craving for non-being. So craving for sensual pleasure we all can understand, and we may have a desire to beautiful sights, beautiful sounds, pleasant fragrances, maybe tasty food, maybe some good sensations. So basically these five chords of pleasure is something we all desire for in this human realm. So we are basically pleasure driven. So if there is pressure, then we go after that. So that is how basically we go after various sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tangibles. So that is the kama tanha in one aspect. But not only that, there are various desires to our designation, our reputation, our wealth. So all that are another way of explaining the kama tanha. So our children and spouse, etc. So all that comes under this, where we have certain desire. Then the bhava tanha is one sense we can say we all have a certain inclination towards another activity. Currently we have a certain amount of unrest in the mind, but we are looking forward for future happiness through some sort of an activity or some sort of an association or some sort of a acquiring something. So that's a kind of an ongoing internal asking or internal liking, internal request, anticipation for a future happiness. We are yearning for something. Always we are yearning for something. Currently I am not happy, but if in case I get this, I am happy. So we are looking forward for some future activity. So continue, we need to continue ourselves with satisfying our senses, satisfying our desires. So this looking forward for future, desire to become someone, or desire to be with someone, or desire to have something. So all that, that futuristic kind of inclination we have in our mind. So that we can say as the desire to become or bhava tanha. On the other hand, the other opposite side is the desire to get rid of. Say we want to get rid of something bad, something suffering. So there's a kind of a escapism operating in the mind. So basically, so that desire to get rid of, we can say as the vibhava tanha. So this actually can be applied to the much broader sense. So we want to have a future life, or we want to extinct in the present life. If you want to have future further and further living, so that comes under the bhava tanha. If you want to completely annihilate right now, so that comes as the vibhava tanha. In broader sense, we can therefore say desire to become is more into the sassata ditti, and desire to get rid of comes very much closer to uccheda ditti. Anyway, now these are the different desires. Now, once we know their presence, so all this theoretical understanding is not enough. Now, through our mindfulness, so we need to recognize when these desires are operating in our mind. So their presence has to be understood. So, idam dukkha samudayam ariya satyam. That also there is a desire, there is craving, there is a desire. So likewise, so that acknowledgement, currently there is a desire. Currently there is a little looking forward, such kind of attitude. I am yearning for something. So that desire we need to understand, recognize currently. Then I can say, okay, there is craving. And then what we need to do on to that? So what is the practice? Dukkha samudayam ariya satyam pahatabbam. So that has to be abandoned. So rather than gratifying that desire, if we are able to abandon that, then we are practicing in a way. And if we are able to abandon that, now we can see that it is not there, not present. That desire has let go of. Then we can say, okay, it is pahina. The origin of suffering has been abandoned. So this threefold practice, so that is the knowing the theoretical knowledge and then direct experience of the current availability of whatever the desire, and then the practice, that is the abandoning of it, and once it is abandoned, to recognize, okay, now it is not available. So this sort of three sides are very important. So that is how to each noble truth, these three attributes are there. So the satcha is the theoretical understanding and their practical availability, practical recognition, and then kiccha, the task that we need to do, and then the understanding, the pativeda. The previous one we can say pariyatti, then the patipatti, and now we are coming under the pativeda, where we have realized that. So basically the task is done. So what's the, after accomplishing the task, what is currently available? Pariyatti, patipatti and pativeda. So each truth is very much like described based on these three attributes. So therefore it is coming 3 into 4. Altogether 12 aspects are there into these four noble truths. And then Venerable Sariputta explains about katamo chaoso dukkha nirodho yotasaeva tanhaya asesa viraga nirodho chago patinissaggo mutti analayo ayang uchataoso dukkha nirodho. So he basically defines dukkha nirodho as that particular tanha, that craving, has completely abandoned and given up and then let go of, and now the mind is free and there are no desires. Completely mind is has become dispassionate. So this is the dukkha nirodha. So it's nothing but nibbana in other sense. So there the practice is idam dukkha nirodham ariya satyam. So in the practical point of view, so if there is suffering that we need to recognize, thoroughly understand it, then we need to understand what is the cause of suffering, there may be a little desire, kind of an expectation operating. That's why the suffering has happened. Now that cause has to be abandoned. And once that cause has abandoned, okay, now there is no suffering. There is no desire. Now this we arrive at the third noble truth. There is cessation of suffering. And complete, for the time being, certain amount of abandonment of that desire. So that also we need to understand. There is Dukkha Nirodham Ariya Satcham. So currently this is the cessation. So that absence of suffering, absence of craving, we need to understand this is the cessation. It's a kind of a peaceful state of mind. It is not burning, not burdened, or no desires, no any kind of constraint. So the mind has become very peaceful, calm, quiet. So that peaceful, calm, quiet state we need to recognize. And then that practice is called Sacchikātabbaṃ. So where one has to realize it. It is not mere imagination or mere sort of expectation of that, always wishing may I attain Nibbāna. Rather currently, when suffering is not there, when the cause of suffering is abandoned, what you feel? There is no suffering now. Mind has become very peaceful. Mind has become very fairly calm, tranquil. So that we need to understand, realize, this is the, for the time being, the Nibbana I have arrived. That may not be the full-fledged, complete Nibbana, but as a result of the current practice, what I have arrived is this. Sometimes in the Vipassana point of view, it is called Tadanga Nibbuti. Say when you are practicing Vipassana, as a result of the Vipassana knowledges, so different desires are abandoned, all the suffering is sort of ceased. So currently you feel peaceful. Currently you are quite happy. Happy in the sense, kind of contented. Because nothing, no unrest is there in the mind. No agitation in the mind. So mind has become fairly peaceful, happy. So that happy, peaceful state we need to understand as the quenching of the desires. So Tadanga Nimbuti means that you are quenched to that extent. To the extent of the vipassana knowledge, to the extent of your practice, okay, the mind has quenched. No burning in the mind. Mind has become calm, mind has become serene, mind has become tranquil. So then we realize that this is the Tadanga Nimbuti currently I am experiencing. So once we know that, we can further maximize it, prolong that, expand it. Then that's a further development of our practice. But anyway, as we are continuing, time to time when we are experiencing this peace of the mind, calmness, tranquility of the mind, that also we need to acknowledge rather than ignoring it. So the Tadanga Nibbuti has to be Sacchikātabbaṃ in that sense. And once we realize it, again and again, its presence being acknowledged, appreciated, then it becomes the very much the norm of the mind. So you start dwelling there, you start being there, you start experiencing that. So one may arrive at the Tadanga Nibbuti, one may arrive at the freedom of the mind. So if, for example, if you are practicing Satipatthana, and suppose that you practice Vedanupassana, and different feelings are there, and all these different feelings we are trying to recognize. So as a result of this recognition, say you may understand how impermanent they are, how unsatisfactory they are, and how non-governable they are. So all these different aspects we are learning, we are experiencing, we are knowing, that helps to avoid any kind of attachment to these feelings. Now previously, whenever a pleasurable feeling arises, we quickly attach to that. We want to have it, we want to own it. But now, since we know their true nature, rather than mind become passionate, it becomes dispassionate. So it slowly abandons it. So no need to get involved in the pleasures, no need to get involved with the pain, so equanimity, so rather mind becomes somewhat secluded. So that seclusion arising in the mind, one has to recognize, okay, there is kind of a calmness, there is kind of peacefulness, and there is some sort of happiness, some peace, and that we need to recognize, that we need to appreciate. So that is what we are telling here, kind of satchikātabba, as a result of our practice. So okay, we come and be there, we come and sort of recognize it, so appreciate it. Because if we can't appreciate it, then we are further and further sort of struggling, rather than knowing its presence, rather than knowing the presence of this peacefulness. So that is what here we are talking in terms of the, say, in the feelings aggregate. So once you know about the feelings, so they become calm, they become quiet. The different feelings are sort of ceased. So the mind become calm in a way, quiet, no agitation in the mind. So the mind has completely free from these different manifestations of the feelings. So the free from any attachment to the feelings, no associations with the feelings now. So mind has lifted up. So this state has to be recognized. So that's why after the practice of Vedanānupassana, say Buddha emphasized, okay, there are merely feelings now, and you don't need to worry about them, you don't need to attach to them. So the mind automatically has become secluded from them, and basically now mind has not clung to any of those feelings. Anisitocha viharati. Now it is not associating any feelings. Nacha kinchi loke upadhiti. Now it is not clinging into any of the feelings. So this state we need to recognize as the temporary calmness, happiness, cessation, or nibbana, what we have arrived. Now, the fourth noble truth. Idan dukkha nirodha gamini patipada ariya saccha. This is the noble truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Now, that is explained with respect to the Samma Ditti, Samma Sankappa, Samma Vacha, Samma Kammanta, Samma Ajiva, Samma Vayama, Samma Sati, Samma Samadhi. It's the Noble Eightfold Path. So the eight factors. Now in brief, that is the Sila Samadhi Panya. Starting with the Panya Sikha, and then the Sila, and then the Samadhi. So when one is practicing again and again, according to these four noble truths, so we can say it is very much like developing the Noble Eightfold Path. You are maintaining fair amount of morality and further developing the concentration and further developing the wisdom as a result of the vipassana. So this has to be developed. So it's not a fixed path. So it has to be developed. So the Noble Eightfold has to be developed. Bhavetabbang. It's a continuous development. Every day, when you are operating in your mind, whenever you are recognizing either form aggregate, perceptions, feelings, formations, consciousness, so we are recognizing we are working on the first noble truth, understanding that. And if there is any kind of suffering, then we understand that and we abandon that. And we arrive at the cessation, we are dwelling in that. So this is the development. The development of the Noble Eightfold Path. It's an ongoing practice. It has to be a kind of a lifetime practice. It's not that you simply know the theory, Samma Ditti, Samma Sankappa, Samma Vacha, kind of a theoretical understanding is not enough. Rather, one has to know that thoroughly, recognize that, say, apply that to the life, and then develop that. Sila, Samadhi, Panya has to be developed. Now, actually, in the Mahachattarisika Sutta, so Buddha explained that in detail how one is developing, say for example, Samma Vacha. So first we need to understand what is Michha Vacha. That's wrong speech, that is lying, then divisive speech, then harsh speech and gossip. So these are the four types of Michha speech, the Michha Vacha. And what is Samma Vacha? That is the talking only the truth, being truthful, and then abandoning that divisive speech, only talking something, say, making people agreeable, making people peaceful, and then using some soft speech without hurting others, abandoning the harsh speech, and talking something useful, beneficial, without idle chattering. Now this is the correct speech, right speech. Now when understanding this difference, understanding what they are exactly, is the samadhi. And basically we need to abandon the wrong side and have to cultivate the correct side, that is also samadhi. So basically that samadhi is something sort of driving us. So that samadhi is the very fundamental understanding we need to have. That is the one actually completely driving us in a way. So very much like it is not a very stagnating or static thing. Rather, it's a very dynamic process. So whenever there is an opportunity to talk, we need to know what is Samma Vacha, what is Michha Vacha. So have to have a desire to talk, use the Samma Vacha instead of Michha Vacha. So that means at that moment there should be some mindfulness. So Samma Sati has to be available. So without Samma Sati we are completely out of mind. We are simply impulsively talking. So the mindfulness is necessary for us to be present. Currently, okay, I am talking. What am I talking? How should I talk? So all that happens when the presence of mind is available. So the Samma Sati is another facilitating factor in this operation, in the Samma Vacha. And then the effort is necessary to abandon the Michha Vacha and to use only the Samma Vacha. So it's a kind of an ongoing effort is required. So the Samma Ditti help us to understand what is Michha Vacha and Samma Vacha. So that differentiation is happening, that guidance happens through the Samma Ditti. And currently I am in a discussion, I am in a speech. So that presence of the mind, Samma Sati, help us to mindfully aware what is happening right now. And then Samma Vayama, correct effort, help us to abandon Michha Vacha and only to use the Samma Vacha. So these three factors, Sammaditti, Samma Sati, Samma Vayama, therefore Buddha mentioned they are very much like accompanying factors to Samma Vacha. So similarly he explained Samma Kammanta, Samma Ajiva. So knowing what is wrong and what is correct, that is coming as the understanding, kind of a direction, view, Sammaditti. And currently knowing what's going on, that comes as the Samma Sati. And ongoing effort to abandon the wrong and only occupy the correct, that comes as the Samma Vayama. Therefore Samma Ditti, Samma Sati and Samma Vayama are very much like three factors continuously supporting the other path factors. So it's a kind of a very dynamic process. So Noble Eightfold Path is a very dynamic process. It is not a kind of a static list as such, rather it's a very kind of a dynamic process we have to apply throughout our life. Now when Venerable Sariputta explained, Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, say all that eight path factors, so he further mentioned, යතෝකෝ ආවසෝ අරිය සාවකෝ ඒවන් දුක්ඛම් පජානාති ඒවන් දුක්ඛ සමුදයම් පජානාති ඒවන් දුක්ඛ නිරෝධම් පජානාති ඒවන් දුක්ඛ නිරෝධ ගාමිනීන් පටිපදම් පජානාති සෝ සබ්බසෝ රාගානුසයං පහාය පටිගානුසයං පටිවිනෝදෙත්වා අස්මීති දිට්ඨි මානානුසයං සමූහනිත්වා අවිජ්ජං පහාය විජ්ජං උපාදෙත්වා දිට්ඨේව ධම්මේ දුක්ඛසන්ත කරෝ හෝති එත්තාවතාපිකෝ ආවසෝ අරිය සාවකෝ සම්මා දිට්ඨි හෝති සෝ ද ෆස්ට් ඇක්චුලි යුසින් ද සම්මා සෝ දිස් Noble, the Four Noble Truths, one simply arrives the Dhamma, one attains Sotapanna, and continuation of the practice helps one to further abandon the anusaya, latent tendencies. So that is the how here mentioned as Raga Anusayam Pahaya Patiga Anusayam Pativinodetta. So that is, one becomes a non-returner. Raga Anusaya, the latent tendencies to lust, and then the latent tendency to hatred, so that is abandoned, so then one becomes a non-returner, and ultimately one becomes an arahant by abandoning asmiti ditti mana anusayan samuhanitva, so completely abandoning of the sense of I and any kind of a measurement, any kind of a conceit available in the mind is completely abandoned. So as we discussed last time, there is a kind of a discussion, a point related by Venerable Anadayo, telling that this sutta is very much oriented towards the Sotapanna, emphasizing how the Sammaditti helps to attain the Sotapanna. But Bhikkhu Bodhi and others, actually I have seen their comments, so they do not limit the sutta only to a Sotapanna state, rather they expand it as explained in the sutta. It is not only limited to the Sotapanna, is talking about further development, attainment to other sort of attainments as well. So this is with respect to the Four Noble Truths that Venerable Sariputta has mentioned in the Sammaditti Sutta. So that is another very important way of having proper view, correct view in ourselves. And the whole Sutta, actually, as I explained, have this model. Say, for example, in the future, we will talk about the other factors. And let's take just one thing, aging and death, for example. So he talks about the aging and death, what they are, the theoretical information. And then it is cause, the cessation of the cause, and the path leading to the cessation of the cause. Say, when one is talking about the birth, and what is birth, the theoretical explanation of that, what is the cause, what is the cessation, and the path leading to the cessation of the birth. So likewise, this whole sutta is very much like based upon the Four Noble Truths, that structure, that model. Everywhere that model is present. That is how Venerable Sariputta has presented the whole sutta. Okay, with that I will conclude today's sutta teaching session. Now I open the session for questions.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Jennifer, we thought that you are not available.
Hi. Oh, Priyanka was able to help me to
Zoom. Yes, yes.
So she had dropped off and
good.
I'm on now.
Good.
Yes. If anyone has questions, that's joining us for the first time.
Yeah. Venerable Dhamma Vijita.
Oh, go ahead, Bhante, you have a question on your side?
Yes. Venerable Dhamma Vijita from our side has a question. Please go ahead.
Yes, excuse me, Bhante. I just wanted to bring up your presentation, of course, just covers everything. Maybe I could just add a few things that I've learned from my studies and to see,
right,
maybe that would also be good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can let me know, of course. So in regard to if we're most of us are probably around the stage of Sotapanna. we want to have confidence in the Dhamma from an experiential sense and so forth. And so, And so pertaining to right view is like a sotapanna, one of right view, in what way is noble disciple one of right view, one whose view is straight, who has unwavering confidence in the Dhamma and has arrived at this true Dhamma. So Shariputta is asking this question, so in Bhikkhu Bodhi's commentaries, he says that he's speaking, in the commentaries he says he's speaking, Shariputta is speaking of a Seka,
mm-hmm.
Disciple in higher training who
Correct.
Possesses supermundane right view.
Correct.
Leading irreversibly to emancipation. This is implied by the phrase unwavering confidence and arrived at this true Dhamma. And a Seka is one who has at least reached the stage of stream entry, but not yet an Arhant.
Correct.
And then from Analio Bhikkhu's study of the Samyutta Agama, of the Chinese parallel.
It doesn't have that last phrase.
Right. Well, no. What I was going to say is just that in that version, there's Venerable Mahakoketa comes to Shariputta. And
yes.
He in these versions. This Venerable Mahakotika.
No, the point is what he highlights is that now here in the Theravada Samadhitti Sutta, the Pali Sutta, so Venerable Sariputta himself voluntarily explained this information to the Sangha.
Yes.
But in the Madhyama Agama, in those books, so it is very much like a discussion between Venerable Sariputta and Venerable Mahakotita.
Yes.
So Venerable Kottita is asking questions and Venerable Sariputta is explaining, or the other side.
Yes.
Venerable Mahakottita is explaining, Venerable Sariputta is asking. So likewise, some deviation is there.
Yes, I don't want to bring up. I respect your taking the sutta that we have in the Theravada is that it talks about arhantship and sotapanna. That's I'm just bringing this up as just to add to the conversation. In the Chinese versions, it says, having accomplished what factors is a learned noble disciple in this Dhamma and discipline reckoned to have endowed with the right view, to having accomplished straight view, to having accomplished unshakable confidence in the Buddha, to having penetrated the right Dhamma, to having attained this right Dhamma and awoken to this right Dhamma, which this is experiential right view attained. I believe these, when you are reaching sotapanna, so if we're practicing and we want to realize this true Dhamma and have an experiential, unshakable confidence in the Dhamma, that the fetter of personality view, sakkaya ditti, in the sense of a belief in a notion of a permanent self, you no longer have that personality view. And then the fetter of doubt, vichikicca, in particular, regarding to the nature of what is wholesome and what is unwholesome, which is what you also mentioned. We no longer have that doubt of what is wholesome or unwholesome.
Correct.
And then the fetter of dogmatic clinging to rules and vows, silabhata paramasa, as in themselves sufficient for reaching liberation, the stream that has been entered this point, at this point is the Noble Eightfold Path, and the stream enter is now reckoned one who is endowed with view. In other words, the stream enter has seen the Four Noble Truths and attained what is it in early Buddhist thought
mm-hmm.
fulfills right view.
Correct,
so
correct.
I just thought I'd add those things and see if, because I don't think we've spoke. Yeah, I don't think you've spoken about what stream entry is at this point, which is what that would be our first stage of right view would be stream entry,
mm-hmm.
and those three fetters that are abandoned.
Yeah,
stream
yeah.
entry. Is that correct?
Correct, correct, definitely.
Okay.
So basically, there are 10 fetters explained in the Dhamma. Mm-hmm. So when one attains the stream entry, so there are three fetters. So
yes.
one is supposed to abandon. So that,
yeah.
as you explained here. So the personality view, the Sakkaya Ditti.
Yeah.
So that is explained with respect to the clinging aggregates.
Yeah.
So with respect to each clinging aggregate, one can have four types of Sakkaya Ditti. Immediate recognition of the aggregate as myself, or the aggregate belongs to me as the other one, or inside me this particular aggregate resides, the
yeah.
third one, or inside the aggregate I reside. Myself reside. So
yeah.
likewise, but with respect to each aggregate, one according to Dhamma, so one can have different forms of Sakkaya Ditti. All that Sakkaya Ditti has to be abandoned.
Yes.
So that is one important aspect of stream meaning. The
yeah.
second one is that the Silabbata Paramasa. So there are various rituals, there are various observances.
Yeah.
So expecting certain observances, so there's a beautiful explanation given by Venerable Ananda when Buddha is asking. Venerable Ananda, is all the rituals and observances, are they to be abandoned? When the Buddha asks from Venerable Ananda, he says we can't give a definite answer to that. Rather, there may be observances, rituals, practices which are helping to develop the wholesomeness. And to reduce the unwholesomeness. So those have to be practiced basically. Those you can continue. Because it has some, you know, it has some benefit. That's why certain rituals, certain observances are quite useful. So you better continue that because it is having some benefit for you. And on the other hand, he further mentioned there are rituals, there may be observances. By following that, you may understand, okay, my, say, faith has reduced, my wholesome attributes have reduced, instead some unwholesomeness has increased.
Yeah.
So those observances, those rituals are to be abandoned.
Yes.
So that is how Venerable Ananda gave the explanation, and Buddha approves that. Buddha says yes, Venerable Ananda is quite correct.
Mm.
So therefore, by abandoning rites and rituals does not mean that you have nothing to do, you have no practices, no, say, observances.
Yeah.
Rather, you may understand, okay, what are the useful ones, what are the correct ones, what are the beneficial ones, and you only have that, you only continue that with proper balance,
yeah.
and abandoning the what is unuseful, unhelpful, or even harmful.
Yeah.
And then the vichikicca, as you said,
yeah.
say the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So typically it is explained with respect to the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, with the about the Parisamuppada, and about one's practice. So all that comes under the doubt. But by properly practicing, so you become confident about the path. You become quite thoroughly understand where the Buddha's teaching. So who is Buddha in that sense, and how he has proclaimed the Dhamma, and who are the followers of the teaching. So likewise, you become sort of unwavering confidence in the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, so no more doubt about it then. So likewise, vichikicca, once abandoned, so you are well established in the Buddha and thoroughly having some, unwavering faith about the Buddha, and then trusting on the Dhamma, the teaching, and you are very much like aligning with the teaching now. You are yourself is practicing according to the teaching now, and you become part of the Sangha. It's not that you are external to the Sangha, you also inside the Sangha very much like. Say, a Sotapanna is a person, a noble, and a trainee. He is training in line with the Sangha, very much like. So therefore, very much like, it's so these factors, if we practically understand, so we need to see in our mind when Sakkaya Ditti arise. So when the presence of I or any recognition, any identification happens in the mind, so we should know, there is Sakkayaditti. So that has to be abandoned. That I making, that mind making, so any sort of identification, then and there we need to recognize and have to abandon that. So, I mean, our practice definitely will help for that. Say, if you practice Dhatu Manasikara, that helps you to understand, okay, there is no self with respect to this body. There is no self with respect to this outside matter as well. So with respect to the form aggregate, there is no self. You become more and more confident about that.
Okay.
So when you practice Vedana Anupassana, you become more thoroughly convinced that there is no self in the form aggregate, the feeling aggregate. When you practice Chitta Anupassana, say you become more confident that there is no self with respect to the thoughts, with respect to the mental formations, maybe with respect to various perceptions. And as you continue further, the practice coming to the Dhamma Anupassana, say none of the aggregates have a permanent self, any kind of a substantial entity, nothing is there. So you become more and more confident as a result of your own practice. So the any further identification of Sakkaya, any further identification of these aggregates can happen because of our past habit, but then and there you start disclaiming that. So that's why now, even though one has become a Sotapanna, still the sense of I could be there, as we discuss in the Kemaka Sutta. When Kemaka explained, okay, he is an unwrittener basically, but still a little sense of I is still present. So even though he very well understood there is no self in the form aggregate, even though he very well understood there is no self in the feelings aggregate, perceptions aggregate, formations aggregate, consciousness aggregate, he humbly admit he still has sense of I. So that is the asmimana, the conceit I am. A little, very subtle sense of I is still there, and he says, okay, you further need to develop this practice, knowing the impermanence of these five craving aggregates, that will helpful to completely abandon even this residual sense of I as well. So therefore, as we can see, so the Samadhitti Sutta, as you said, definitely helpful for one to become a Sotapanna, and what is the basic establishment, the proper right view one has to have. But as we can see, it is not limited to that. So it's helpful to furthering one's practice and thoroughly further enhance one's Samadhitti. And as a result of that, attaining the other path fruitions as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank you. That perfectly answers. Thank you.
Yeah. So no more questions from our side, Jennifer.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante. Are there any questions for the online participants? Feel free to raise your hand or send out the chat. Okay, there's a written question here, Bhante.
Yeah.
It says, Venerable Bhante, this question is not specific to today's teaching, but to your teaching generally. When you speak about emptiness or singleness in meditation, do you mean the same as what is called
akinchanya?
Not a Pali word.
Akinchanya.
Yes, in the suttas, or do you mean something else?
Mm-hmm.
I understand that you're generally not talking about an absorption experience. So with emptiness or singleness, do you mean what nowadays some call vipassana jhana? This question is to clarify terminology. Please, Bhante. Thank you, Thiruvan Sanai.
Yeah. So actually this emptiness and signlessness, maybe signless, not singleness, but signless. So
yes.
That is the sunyata and animitta. So they are, in a way, we can say certain realizations, attainments, vipassana yogi may arrive by seeing the true nature of the phenomena. Say, for example, if one is thorough in one's understanding about the impermanent nature of phenomena, one may, the mind may start dropping all the signs rather than attaching to them. Now it is not picking the signs. So ultimately mind becomes freed by not taking any sign. That's why it is called animitta, signless. Similarly, if one thoroughly understands, okay, there is no essence here, there is no any inner core, any person, any individual, any self. So everything is non-self. Then as a result of that, mind gets freed. So then we call it sunyata or emptiness. Now therefore, these attainments are basically based on one's understanding. One in signless state, one thoroughly understands the impermanence. On the other hand, in the emptiness, one thoroughly understands the non-self. But nothingness, one can arrive without any of these understandings. Say, if we are practicing Arupa Jhana, it's a kind of concentration practice, and one can attain nothingness. So it's as a perception you develop nothingness. And it's gradually, say for example, if you practice Kasina meditation, so you are using, say, Patavi Kasina, and you are again and again applying your mind to that. And as a result of that, one can attain the first jhana, then second, then third, and then fourth. So gradually you attain the material jhana, the rupa jhana. Later what happens is you take out the kasina, and at that space, now there is no kasina, now it's what is available is the space. So you arrive at the space, you start perceiving the space, and this space you become concentrated, and later you expand this space, so it becomes boundless space, akasa nanchayatana. So it's a boundless space now. So you attain the first arupa jhana, and then this boundless space is actually being conscious by the consciousness, and you logically think, okay, this consciousness also has to be boundless. For through a boundless consciousness only you can experience boundless space. So instead of space, now you pay attention to this boundless consciousness. So as a result of that, you arrive the second arupa jhana, which is called vijnananchayatana. And once you arrive there, that is boundless consciousness, there also you consider in that previously there was space, now there is consciousness, and now you pay attention to nothingness, saying there is nothing here. It's a kind of a programming of the mind, conditioning of the mind, not through an understanding of the mind, but by conditioning the mind you achieve nothingness. Natikinchi, there is nothing here, there is nothing here. It's very much like through a conditioning process, not through a thorough understanding or experiential understanding process, but rather a kind of a conditioning process. You achieve the nothingness where nothing is there. That also as a perception you can grasp in a way. There is nothing. As a perception you grasp and you absorb to that, and then you achieve nothingness. So basically these are the samatha approaches one can achieve through samatha jhanic practice. But on the other hand, the emptiness or signlessness are quite different. So they are achieved through vipassana practice. But the point is, there are certain similarities in these two sides. So one similarity is the boundless nature. So the signless state and emptiness state, both are fairly boundless. There is no any boundary. In the arupa jhana also, you experience this boundless nature. So mind has no limit. It has become limitless, boundless. And particularly to the nothingness, so you may feel nothing is there. So there is no. So you can argue telling, okay, nothing is there. That means there is nothing material, nothing immaterial, nothing self. All can very much closer to that emptiness, closer to that signlessness. So nothingness is therefore sometimes considered as a very good place for you to turn even to the vipassana, where we quickly start recognizing the impermanent, unsatisfactoriness and non-self, and it may be easy for one to quickly turn yourself to vipassana and then turn this nothingness into emptiness signlessness, that kind of a thing. And that is also sometimes explained, say for example in the Pottapada Sutta, Buddha explains still nothingness and then he considered that as a form of sanyagga, the crux of the perception, and there he says, okay, now I stop all the mental formations, now I stop all the volitional activities, because this volitional activities are a burden, continuation of these volitional activities are a burden, so I am going to stop it. Then you touch the cessation, the nirodha. So likewise, these are two sides actually, but certain similarities are there. So therefore, we can't say when we are explaining signless and emptiness that we are talking about nothingness. So nothingness is one thing and signless and emptiness states are different thing. But the interesting thing is, so when you are arriving emptiness and signlessness, later, slowly, it becomes very much like achievable without much vipassana practice. Say, for example, at the beginning, you need fair amount of practice to achieve it, arrive it. Say, half an hour, 45 minutes, you need to again and again use vipassana techniques, then only the mind becomes signless, then only the mind becomes empty. But later, this becomes registered in your mind, fairly available to your mind, then you can quickly jump to that. Then it is very much like appear like a samatha kind of a samadhi, because you are not much going through the vipassana practice, but anyway you are arriving the result of the vipassana practice. So therefore sometimes even certain suttas it is explained very much like a arupa jhana now, because you quickly attain that without going through vipassana practice. For example, in the Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta, so once go through the vipassana practice and arrive this state, it is now very much like arupa jhana. But it is not also to adhere, it is not also to absorb, rather Buddha asks us to use it to further develop non-self, further develop the atammeta. So while you are there, you should not identify as anybody, you should not cling to anything. That is the atammeta you need to further continue. So that is very, very important. Otherwise, what happens is, even this sort of an attainment, you become cling to, you start attaching to that, you start absorbing to that, then we are not properly using that. So in order to properly use that, we have to gently be there, we have to softly be there, without having strong effort, we have to be there, then we become vulnerable. We become, the thoughts may appear again, the defilements may appear again. So very much like the disturbances are again present. So there the practice has to be continued. So slowly the defilements are abandoned, defilements are weakened. So the continuity of the vipassana process is happened. Even one arrive the signless state or even one arrive the emptiness state. That's why Buddha in Chula Sunyata Sutta highlights, okay, the signless state is also conditioned. So it may break when a sign appears. Again, the mind picks a sign, even when the mind starts thinking. So likewise, so this, we need to allow that to break, then we can understand the further operation of various defilements, then the continuity of the vipassana practice is there.
Thank you, Bhante. I believe that is the last of the question.
Okay, then we'll conclude today's Dhamma discussion, and we have spent 1 hour going through the Sammaditti Sutta and again having some discussion, and all the merits that we have accumulated we'll share with all celestial beings, with all past relatives and whoever in need of merits, and we wish these merits help us also to understand the Buddha's teaching, practice it to the best of our ability, and attain path, fruition, nibbana. We'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam.
Sabbe devanumodantu sabba sampatti siddhyam. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam. Sabbe bhutanumodantu sabba sampatti siddhyam. Ittavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam. Sabbe sattan modantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanagar mahiddhika. Punyang tangan modit vajrang naktam tusasanam. Akasakta chabumakta devanaga mahidika. Punyang tangan modit vajrang naktam tusasanam. Akasakta chabumakta devanaga mahidika. Punyang tangan modit vajrang naktam tumamparam. Idam vonyati nam hotu sukita hotu nateo. Idam vonyati nam hotu sukita hotu nateo. Idam vonyati nam hotu sukita hotu nateo. Imina punya kami nama me bava smagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yavanibana pakia. Imina punya kami nama me bava smagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yavanibana pakia. Imina punya kami nama me bava smagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yavanibana pakia.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.